Everybody clap your hands.
Have a sex toy, we'll try it. Have a fetish, we'll try it. We masturbate and copulate to recreate and educate. We are the Trisexual.
Hello and welcome to the Trisexuals podcast. I'm Max Chameleon.
I'm Lily Chameleon.
And I'm Kit.
And I have to say, guys, I'm really impressed because the Trisexuals chat on Telegram is really blowing up. We have a lot of awesome stuff going on with like the Reddit, all sorts of cool things. You guys are making me really happy. This is actually our third week in a row recording. Now, you guys will hear the podcast spaced out by 2 weeks, but we've been recording every single week, getting a guest on. I just feel like a lot of great things are happening with the Trisexuals podcast, and I really have to thank you guys for doing this and giving me the energy to continue. You have no idea how much this is inspiring me, the stuff that's going on in my personal life. I need this, and thank you so much. With that begging and pleading and thinking, let's start with what's playing. Lily, what have you been playing with lately?
So I've actually been playing with the Lust Arts Unicorn Horn, which has been really nice. I absolutely love it.
Now, that's the one we picked up from DakuCon, is that right?
That is correct. That is the one we picked up from DakuCon, and it's been absolutely just... I love the colors. I love the fact that it glows in the dark. I love all of it.
So here's a question about unicorn horn sex toys. And there's a couple of them out there. I know Split Peaches has one. And, of course, Lust Arts has one. And there's another one that escapes me right now.
Geeky Sex Toys has one.
So in unicorn lore, the thing is you can only see the unicorn if you're a virgin, right? So the moment that you use the toy, does it disappear?
No. Maybe I'm just born again.
Oh, God. So don't even joke about that. So well, that's awesome.
And then the other thing I've actually, we haven't played with yet, but we just got in the mail. I'm so excited because with Max traveling, I purchased him a Valentine's gift from XenoCat, and it is the box of Luminous Glints from the Abyss, which has a beautiful toy called Alabaster.
So I got this in the mail, had no idea it was coming, and I was like, what the heck is this? Sometimes sex toy companies send us toys without letting us know, which is always a fun surprise, and I thought this was it, but then Lily started looking all coy and silly. I'm like, what the heck? She's like, oh, this is your Valentine's Day gift. And by the time that this podcast comes out, it'll be well after Valentine's Day, but as we're recording, it's a couple days away. So very nice gift, and I really love what XenoCat Creations has been doing with the Valentine's Day themed box. Pretty cool.
Yeah, and having the chocolate in there and the rose petals. It's beautiful.
The chocolate's already gone. Well, that didn't last 12 hours in this house.
And there goes my freaking diet.
So, Kit, what have you been playing with lately?
Well, I got a couple things to talk about. I actually just got home from my walk. I have this like really big, steep hill that I climbed down with. It's got a beautiful view. And I was walking along this morning, and I looked down, and I was like, it's a lucky penis stone. So I grabbed it. I brought it home, and I am going to put it with my massage hot stones. I'm going to do a hot stone massage. And then I'm like, I need to do a body scrub. So I'm going to make a peppermint chocolate body scrub, I think. I was going to save it for Valentine's Day, but I might do it twice. So I'm going to actually see if I can find like a little recipe and post that for you guys on Twitter so you can make your own body scrubs, because you can make them for pennies and they're so good.
Ooh, and I'd be interested in that.
Yeah, it pretty much like just takes sugar, oil, and then you can put essential oils, you could put honey, you can put chocolate. If you want one of those like fancy seaweed scrub ones like the spas do, it just takes a little bit of spirulina, and you can get that in like powder from the health food store. They're dead easy. You can put fruit in there too and use scrubs and masks and stuff. They're really fun. So I'm gonna do that, and I'm gonna use my lucky penis stone for some hot stone massage. I've got my crock pots going here where I heat the stones, and it's gonna be really good. So that was something fun this morning that happened that I'm like, oh, I gotta
crock pots and the cock pots.
Oh, yeah, exactly, geez. The cockpot. So Anyway, what I was going to talk about, rather than toy-wise, I have something I have not talked about yet that has been a couple months that I wanted to share with all of you guys. So actually, I got an opportunity to go to a Tantra Puja ceremony and lecture and seminar. It's from the Source School of Tantra Yoga with Charles Muir. And he is one of like the originators of modern Tantra. He's been teaching since 1978.
Wow.
Super nice guy. Yeah, super nice guy. It was a really interesting, like there was a lot of lecture, and we actually, the Puja ceremony thing was like kind of a meditation. They had us kind of stand, and they actually made several circles, so they were fairly small, and we moved around like one person at a time and sort of put like our hands on each other like in the center of the chest, and we had like a meditation thing that we did, which was really interesting. And at the end of the thing, I was actually talking to Charles, and he was good enough to actually give me one of his DVDs. He's got, it's Secrets of Female Sexual Ecstasy. And so I'm just writing up a blog post about that and all the things I've learned. Tantra is a really interesting field, because basically it's kind of like the opposite of a quickie in a lot of ways. Like you're really slowing down. It's almost like turning sex into a meditation in some ways. You really have that attentiveness to what you're doing and feeling, and that focus. It's kind of a neat thing. So Tantra really, it's kind of the opposite of a quickie in a lot of ways. You know, you're focused in on with real attention on what you're doing and on sort of extending the experience and mm-hmm. and kind of going deep with it rather than how quick. In fact, Tantra even teaches for women, once you get warmed up, you know, you come and come and come and come, you can keep going for hours. For men,
oh, wow.
They actually have like an ejaculation control thing, so you actually don't ejaculate, which is a little strange. When most people hear about it, yeah. They're like, no, but
I've definitely had that happen though. I've orgasmed without coming before. And it's weird.
Yes.
The first time it happened, I'm like, I broke something. I was like, imagine there was like some pipe that came undone. There was cum leaking inside of my balls or something like that. But well, you know,
and I've
anyway.
Actually been wanting to ask somebody who's had that experience. Like, is it very different from what you have when you come the normal way?
So the times that it's happened, it's definitely been times where I've been specifically, I mean, I wouldn't have called it tantric at the time, but I think that's kind of what it was. I used to play these games with myself where I would try to masturbate all day and not come, right? And the longer that I went and building up, like I'd get as close as I could and stop, When I would do that every once in a while, it would go over that edge, but not over the edge to where I was coming. So it would feel exactly the same.
But it wouldn't have any of the
There was no
stuff.
Cum coming out. But interestingly, when that would happen, I could keep going. It wasn't like usually when I ejaculate, like I'm done. And there's this feeling that guys describe, I forget what they call it, but I definitely experience it. After you come, you almost get this immediate like distaste for sex, like for the next few, I want to say minutes. Like oftentimes you're even just like, you know, you're just totally not interested in it or doing anything sexual. And it doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes it happens.
Yeah,
but in
I'm
this
curious
case,
about,
you didn't get any of that at all.
I'm really curious about the physiological, like in your brain, like what that is.
The way
that
I think of it is like there's this thing that always exists in my brain. It's like sex, 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 sex all the time. And when it's satisfied for that few like minutes of clarity, like that, whatever that biological drive is, like doesn't exist. So I'm just like a regular creature. So I probably for that time, I know what it feels like to be asexual just for that short period of time.
Oh, see, that's awesome, because that really is like the whole thought behind ejaculation control, so that you can extend the experience, because their thought is it's the process of the sexual experience that is like the most important here. It's not like how quick you can get off. So if you can extend that for hours, you're good, because if you ejaculate, boom, it's over. Now, if you have, you know, a vagina and you ejaculate, you can keep going. In fact, my experience is your desire increases.
It does.
So
yeah.
The
oh my God.
More you come, the more you want to. And there is no physiological like reason that would stop you, unless you're tired and you're done.
Running out of fluids.
Yeah.
Well, even then, it's like you still.
No, I mean, like, not fluids as far as like coming. You're just saying, like, you've literally dehydrated yourself because you've been coming for so many hours at a time. Like, get an IV, she's still going.
The orgasms keep getting better and better until, like, the best orgasm I ever had, I was playing with Tantra things. In fact, I was actually trying to learn how to squirt, so I was using some kind of Tantra techniques and trying to work myself into that. And I reached a state where I hit orgasm and I stayed there for over 10 minutes, and there were, like, mm-hmm. tiny oh, wow. peaks inside of it, but I was up in that particular state, and it was so weird when I finally like came down. It's like I slid down the side of a mountain and I'm like, I'm normal again. But when I came out of it, I looked and it was like I was drugged or something. Colors were so beautiful. I looked at my hands and I'm like, the veins are so beautiful. I can't stop staring at my hand. You know, it was the strangest experience. I've had two of those, one more intense than the other, and they both came from like 1 to 2 hours of this sort of, you know, meditative, really attention focused, you know, I guess edging is maybe another way to think about it, but it was just very sensation focused and very mm-hmm. long and slow and relaxed of practice. So there's some really awesome things I think Tantra has to offer. And the Source School actually teaches a lot of retreats. That's a lot of what they do. You can go and do a weekend, like a beginner's weekend, or they have more advanced ones. And they do have a few videos and things. So one thing I will say about the videos, because this is like, you know, from an originator and this has been, he's been teaching so long, the video I got was filmed in the 1990s. So a little dated. Yeah. A little dated, and not just in like mullets, but a little dated in some of the language. I know we have a lot of people here who don't really identify with the like cis, hetero kind of thing, and I think it was filmed sort of in a different time when that, I don't know, that was more prevailing. So if mm-hmm. if you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, you kind of got to let some of the language, like, yeah, you got to let some of the language sort of roll off a little bit and realize like the underlying stuff is pretty universal. But, you know, even calling it female sexual ecstasy is not quite true. Not everyone who's female has a vagina and vice versa. So anyway, you got to kind of it's a little bit yeah. dated in that way, but it's still really good information. I recommend it. Like it was a fun thing to go test out and do and take the little bit. I wish I could have stayed for the entire weekend, and I couldn't. I was on my way back home and couldn't stay for that much longer, but super cool. Okay, so one more thing I wanted to talk about real quick, since it has to do with our upcoming guest here. I have a Twitter poll running right now about mersuiting. And the poll still, right now, it's going. By the time you listen to this, it will be long past. But we have a really high percentage of people who either like to watch or who actually mersuit. I'm just going to pull it up right now. Yeah, so like 67% either love to do it or love to watch. And that's amazing. Almost 20% of you guys don't know what mersuiting is. So we're going to talk a little bit more about what that is and make sure everyone is on board, because mersuiting's cool stuff, fun stuff. It's a neat kink. So there you go.
Well, I definitely voted in that one, and I knew what mersuiting was. And I said, yes, I was very interested in it.
I'm very interested too, but it's fun to do.
Well, at this point, I think it's time to go to our guest, but before we do, let's have a word from our sponsor. Hey, Sexplorers. I'm really excited to talk to you today about a truly exceptional sex toy shop, Vibrant. Located at bevibrant.com, Vibrant has a commitment to inclusivity with a sex-positive and education-forward approach. As the Trisexuals, we love to recommend Vibrant. We can be sure that each and every toy that they carry is of high quality and is 100% body safe. You simply can't go wrong. Vibrant is also backed by Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains. How cool is that? As fans of the show, you'll receive 20% off your order at bevibrant.com when using the code TRISEXUALS at checkout. That's TRYSEXUALS. That's bevibrant.com and use the code TRISEXUALS at checkout to get 20% off your body-safe toys. Thank you to Vibrant for supporting the Trisexuals and making the sex-positive world a better place.
Just when you thought it was safe to hang up the strap-on, you were wrong. From Liz Elliott, creator of Rocket Girl and the sleeper hit Monthly Fixation, comes the next installment of Strap Up Saturday. It's time to buckle in your dildo and prepare for the pegging. Utilize the hashtag StrapUpSaturday. Share your strapped-up photos of you wearing your harness and favorite toy on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Friendster, MySpace. Well, you get the idea. Strap in for Strap Up Saturday, the re-strappening. Coming to an internet near you this March 23rd.
Hello, Sexplorers. Welcome back. And today we have a special guest, Bex. She is a mursuiter and she also builds fursuits. So, welcome, Bex.
Hello. Nice to be here.
We are so happy to have you. And, you know, one of the first things, actually, I did a little poll on Twitter asking about, you know, how people felt about mursuiting. And I had a surprising number who didn't really know what mursuiting was. So maybe you can, tell us a little bit more about what it is, how you do it, and why you love it.
All right. So, mursuiting is basically any sort of sexual act carried out whilst wearing a fursuit. Doesn't have to be a whole suit, can be a partial, just a head, paws, anything. And it's just really fun. You can kind of hide yourself, and you can be a lot more, like, open about sexual things online and stuff like that, and you don't have to, like, show your face and stuff. And I love it.
Well, we definitely love it, too. we've gotten a chance to participate. And we've had on the show before Subby Shiera, who I think you're familiar with. And, she talked to us a little bit about some of this stuff, which is a lot of fun. Clearly, mursuiting is a very big topic of interest for the trisexuals.
How did you get into mursuiting? Like, how did you get started with it and find out it was even an interest for you?
Well, I've been making suits for a long time, and I had my little bat suit, who I kind of have as my main, like, mursuit character, and I was just like, I kind of want to take, like, some sexy pictures in my suit. I think it would be fun, and people would like it, because people had been posting a lot of fun, like, pictures lately, so I was like, hey, let me try. And then, I was like, hey, this looks fun, too. Let me do this. Put sticks dildo on myself. and then it was a fun time. And then at MFF, I had my first, like, major mursuit experience with Othino, Naughty Anubis. And that was wonderful. And it was very... It's fun.
So before we get too much further
into... We forgot the main important question.
Oh, no!
We gotta ask, what is your favorite dessert?
Banana cream cheesecake. Anything cheesecake also? I don't know, cheesecake.
I can't say I've had a banana cream cheesecake before.
I haven't either, but I have to say, cheesecake has been the number one thing that...
Yeah.
Almost everybody loves.
And then tiramisu.
Cheesecake and tiramisu, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Now I want cheesecake.
Yeah.
So, unlike our mursuiting guests that we've had on in the past, you actually make fursuits, is that right?
I do indeed. Yes, I've made them for about 8 years now.
So how'd you get into making fursuits?
I saw a cool suit at Otakon, my very first convention, which is an anime con in Baltimore. And I saw, like, these Pokemon fursuits. And I went to a panel about that they were hosting about how to make them. And I was like, whoa, this looks really cool. And someone else who was there had a suit of my favorite Pokemon, Jolteon. And I was like, whoa, even better. And it was cool. And I was like 14, I think. It was my 14th birthday. And I just loved them. Like, and I started, made my own for Halloween that year. And been making them ever since.
Wow.
What character, like, did you make? Is it what you have now or something different?
It was actually something different. This character that I have now, she was the second suit I ever made, but my first one was a blue wolf and her name was Eon, and she was so cute. I still have her and I love her to death. And my idea is that I'm going to remake her for my 10-year fursuit making anniversary.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And yeah, I just love making suits and been making them for, I didn't actually commission a suit until how many years ago? Like, I think 3 years ago was the first time I ever commissioned a suit and had one made by someone else.
Wow. You know, it's funny. I thought I was kind of surprised that you'd made a suit before you bought a suit. But then I remember I actually did the same thing. I didn't make a suit very well. So if you're on Discord, you can see my my icon there. It's a green skunk that's on a unicycle. Mm-hmm. That is the first suit I made for a grand total of $7. Back then, nobody wanted the green fur. This was kind of big before there was a lot of furries doing the...
A lot of colorful ones, yeah.
Yeah, the colorful ones. So it was like this green fur that Joann Fabrics was like trying to get rid of. And I threw that thing together. Like, there was no... Well, actually, there was a little bit of foam in the head, but I used like... I don't know what it is. It's like that plastic mesh. And tied it together with like boondoggle. Or whatever that stuff is called. And then I put a little bit of foam on it and made the eyes out of, like,
Max,
bowls.
What? You are now dating yourself.
Yeah, so what? Everyone knows I'm a gray muzzle.
We are gray muzzles.
But, you know, believe it or not, I never did anything sexual or fun in the Max Skunk fursuit.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, no. I mean, my first time having fursuit sex was just recently, so, you know. And that was, you know, many years ago. But, yeah. I also want to have Max probably rebuilt by somebody that's much better at doing fursuits than me, because a lot of people...
So, I think you really need to remake Max Skunk, but I think you need to have, on your tail, I think you need to have an ode to Quasi.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We'll put the pine tree on there for sure.
Oh, cute.
I have a question, actually, about your fursuit. Okay. So do you put SPHs in them, usually, or?
If they're asked for, I haven't.
Really?
If someone asks for one, I'll put it in, totally.
Ooh,
she would totally do it.
Well, is it difficult to clean? Because I would imagine, like, with an SPH, if you're doing a lot of stuff, it's going to get messy. And do you have, like, any tips for keeping that fur nice?
Throw it in the washing machine. Brush it a lot.
Okay.
It's really easy.
I've been too afraid to put my fursuit in the washing machine.
Same. Yet. I've been so scared.
Do it. I've thrown a bunch of suits in the washing machine, and they come out wonderful. So, yeah.
Well, you do it on cold wash, I take it? You don't want it hot.
Yes, cold water.
Cold,
hot will melt the fur, so
obviously you don't put it in the dryer.
Dry it, but the washer has like the spin dry at the end, so it's a lot like easier than washing it by hand, because it'll be dry a bit, and you can actually hang it up when it's done, because if you have a suit that you washed in the bathtub, you have to like not hang it up. You have to lay it out to dry so that the fur doesn't like stretch because it's so heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. See, luckily the fursuits that I have right now are all partials. I don't even have a full suit. So I've been able to put them in the tub for the most part. Whenever I wear it, I actually use a 50-50 like alcohol and water mixture.
Spray it down. Yeah. Like the sprays. Yeah.
Yeah, and then when I want to wash it, I just put it in a tub with soapy water, and they're just small pieces, like, you know, arms and legs, so I don't have to worry about the stretching so much. And the chameleon doesn't even have a lot of fur. It's just like,
he's just sneaky and stuff,
But, Lily Sugar Bell has some fur on her. She can
She definitely gets heavy
when wet.
I look like a drowned rat, okay?
A cute drowned rat.
Pink drowned rat.
So, I stepped away for a second, and that's my fault. You said that you'd put SPHs in fursuits.
Yeah, totally. Like,
so a lot of makers will not own up to that, because, and I'm actually kind of curious, because I was looking for fursuits, a while back before I met you, and I was like, okay, I kind of like want to ask this question, but I don't know, like, how to ask. Oh, Jesus. Sorry about that. I kind of want to ask the question, like, would you put a SPH in a fursuit? But, like, I'm too afraid to ask the question. And I don't know. Like, have people, like, approached you about it? Or how does that get handled?
So, I don't publicly state on my website that I'm open to it. But I do on my AD Twitter. And I'll link people, like, back to my fursuit company in DMs. Because I just don't want it to be, like, Googleable with my AD name and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, like,
well, there's, like, campaigns of people out there that, like, get all worked up about this stuff. I've seen a bunch of it where, like, you know, they'll find a picture of, you know, in a clean vanilla setting, a person who's a known mersuiter or whatever hugging someone, and then people, like, go nuts over it. So the caution is understandable. It's unfortunate, in my opinion, because I think people just need to chill out.
Why can't we all just fucking get along?
For real. Fuck and get along.
Fuck and get along, exactly.
Yes!
But yeah, I usually will just post about it. Like, my friend, I don't know if you know them, Jerry. Their girlfriend, Eva, commissioned me for a bodysuit with a mersuit zipper in it. And honestly, it's a lot better to ask your maker to do it than to do it yourself, because you could, like, severely screw it up or do that. Like, that's why I would much rather do it myself. Because I don't want someone to get a suit from me and then tear its crotch open and try and sew a zipper in themselves half-assedly, you know?
So let's say that I buy from a maker that I'm pretty sure is not down with the whole, SPH thing, but I really like their style. Do you think, like, would you, as a maker, like, would I be able to take my fursuit to you to have it modified? Is that something that people do?
I could. I've not really modified other people's suits before. I don't really like to, because I don't like to mess up other people's work.
Sure.
But I could.
I'm not putting you on the spot. I was just curious if that's what people do.
Yeah. I know a bunch of friends of mine will mod your suit, like, at a convention or something. Like, that's more of a way, like, that.
Oh, so at the actual
get their
convention.
Suits made into mersuits, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm wondering if that's, like, a market out there that hasn't been even tapped into yet, that there are probably a lot of, like, fursuiters.
I know.
So somebody, you're saying we should set up a store specifically for mersuit modifications.
Well, I'm trying my best.
Yes.
And I'm sure that all the vanilla fursuiting companies out there will just lambaste them to hell.
I'm sure they will, but if there is a need for it, I'm sorry to say, fucking money talks.
Can't hear anybody.
It's true.
Oh, and people would definitely pay for it, and maybe, you know, the companies will change their minds and say, you know what, okay, we're going to have to offer this because obviously there's a need for it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Extra holes modification. I'm trying to come up with a name for this.
I don't know. Yeah,
you know, like, and I said, I don't publicly put it on my website because I don't want to get, like, shamed, because I try to keep up, like, this super cutesy image.
Mm-hmm.
Which I do. I have this super cutesy image, like, on my main stuff and my website. I just, like, and if you talk to me, I'm, like, a super happy-go-lucky person and all cheery and stuff. And it's just funny because of how differently people will perceive you if you have an AD. And
It's so true. And you touched on something there. Like, the dichotomy, like, people think, like, oh, she's so cute and stuff like that. And somehow, in people's minds, they think, oh, okay, so if they really enjoy sex and sexual stuff, that's fake? Like, the cute is fake? You know, like, that's not really
representative? I'm sorry, I'm cute and sexy.
Yeah, like, sex doesn't have to be this deviant, fucking scary thing. Like, why can't, you know, cute, happy-go-lucky, playful people be, you know, sexual crazy in bed? Why not?
I don't get it. I truly don't, but society doesn't agree, sadly, so I have to keep things separate and, like, not linked.
I know. But we need to start a movement and change this.
We really do. Start a change.org petition. Let people have sex. That's what it's called.
Hopefully Trisexuals is doing our part to bring it a little bit more.
Yes, I hope so. Yes.
So, with the mersuiting and everything else, have you had any, like, reservations or anything like that as far as, you know, do you feel like, should you be doing mersuiting? Because I know a lot of people are, like, hearing the, oh my god, I want to do this, but then they're like, well, maybe I shouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. At first I did. I was kind of scared that there would be, like, a super negative, like, perception and stuff. But it's funny because I actually have more followers on my AD than I do on my main. Like, I just hit 3,000 followers overnight on my AD.
Oh, hey, congratulations.
Wow. Yeah. And on my main, I think I have like 300 or something like that.
I think that just proves that, you know, there are some kinky motherfuckers out there.
Yeah, also, I have 300 followers on my main.
I want to take this opportunity, if you have found this podcast through Bex's AD account, welcome. You are welcome here.
Yes, you're very welcome.
And Max and I have an AD account too, which we really haven't promoted very much.
Well, the whole idea is that we're not supposed to promote our AD account. It's meant to be this little hidden thing that people find.
Yeah, well, they're going to find it now, aren't they?
Yeah, I guess so. But I'm in control of the edit, so who knows?
Lame.
Total lame.
So, one of the things that we like to talk a lot about on the show is sex toys. Do you happen to have a favorite sex toy type?
Well, I'm a little biased because I kind of own 8 bad dragons. I have a couple other ones, but I love Clayton, my bad dragon Clayton. It's a little mini one, and infirm, and it's real nice, the texture on it. And then my magic wand, of course, I think are my two favorites.
Mm-hmm. Nice go-to.
Yeah.
And did you happen to see Bad Dragon just released a unicorn horn?
I bought it.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did. They just released it. I saw it on Twitter last night.
I bought it yesterday.
You bought it yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Of course. It's freaking unicorn.
Oh
now
my god.
I have the horn to match my bumble hooves.
Yes. Well, you know, with horns, did you know Lust Arts makes an amazing unicorn horn?
Ooh, yes. I've seen a bunch of other awesome unicorn horns online, actually. Split Peaches makes an awesome unicorn horn, too.
I think they were the first one that may have done it.
I think so,
one that we knew
I have
about,
Split Peaches in 3 sizes, and they are so good. I really love the Split Peaches ones, yeah.
That used to be my go-to pegging one, is the Split Peaches unicorn horn.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've played with a toy, as we covered earlier in the podcast.
Oh, poor Max is traveling. Yeah. Oh, man. Mm. So, obviously you love Bad Dragon toys. Are there any other toy makers out there that you're interested in?
Well, I recently got a toy from our lovely fellow member in the group chat, Eerie the Shadow Cat.
Oh, yay!
Yes! I have a little small alabaster. It's super cute. Oops, sorry, knocked stuff. But yeah, it's a small alabaster, and it's super cute, and it's pink and yellow.
And we just got an alabaster, too.
Yeah, for the Valentine's gift.
Oh, the Valentine's boxes, yeah.
Yeah. We were hoping to give that a shot tonight before I leave.
Yes, it's a good one.
And you're drinking booze during the podcast. What the hell? Is that from last night? Where did you find that?
It's still from last night.
You literally picked up a can of booze from last night and started drinking it during the podcast.
So? Don't shame me.
Oh my god.
Don't shame me.
It's falling apart. It's falling apart.
It's after 10 o'clock. Don't shame.
Oh gosh. Kid, is there any questions you have for our guests? Because we're obviously like falling apart on our end.
I think we've been pretty thorough. We asked all the things I was really dying to get to know. It was really cool, really fun.
Vex, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners?
If you're thinking about starting an AD Twitter, do it. But don't put your face on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agree with that. Do it. Let us know. We'll help signal boost.
Yes, because... I know. Tweet it for masks.
Yes. Absolutely. So Bex, if our listeners wanted to, you know, see your AD Twitter or, you know, where can our listeners find you?
All right. You can find me on Twitter at SoBerryBatty. It is my character on there is a little gray and purple bat, and it's pretty easy to spot. So, yeah.
And then, of course, if people want to talk to you further about your fursuits, have them obviously DM
message you.
Yes,
there.
My DMs are open.
Yep.
Message just you there. Just please say then more than hi, because I ignore those.
All right. So now I think it is time to move on to our Define This segment. So this is the segment where we have our listeners pick a term or phrase from Urban Dictionary, and we all try to guess what it is. Today's word is brought to us by Fjell Raven. Did I say that right?
Fjell? Yeah, I think it's Fjell.
Fjell Raven. And the word is not last on my toasting screen right now.
It's right there.
Where am I seeing it? Down? Oh, okay. And the word is Blastoising. I'm not a Pokemon guy. Am I saying Blastoise?
Yeah, that's Blastoising, yeah.
Blastoising. Okay. So I actually don't know what Pokemon the Blastoise is.
That's the big turtle.
Yeah, it's a really turtle with turtle. The cannons.
So it starts out with a small turtle,
so
he's
the one that has like the flower on his back?
No, that's Venusaur.
That's Venusaur, so Blastoise is the water one.
Is that like an evolved form of the...
Yes, the evolved form of the turtle?
Yes.
Yeah.
Squirtle.
Tortle,
Blastoise.
I'm going to need some time to think on this. Has anyone got a pretty good guess what Blastoising is?
I have a slight idea.
The more ridiculous, the better.
Violent squirting.
Yeah, hey, there you go.
That's what I was thinking. It's got to have something to do with coming, like, and being blasted, like, I don't know, in the face or
something
on the body.
Something
like that. It's got to be.
Yeah. I think right, it's going to be.
So do you have a specific guess, or are you just going along with squirting?
I'm going to have to go along with squirting because that's the best I got here. I do not know my Pokemon. I am going to just own up to that right now. So
that's okay. I make up for it. I have extreme knowledge of Pokemon. It's ridiculous.
So I'm going to go on the opposite side with the squirting because Blastoise has these big two cannons. So I'm going to assume...
Is it two cannons?
Yeah, it's two cannons on either side. So I'm going to say it's going to be like... someone jerking off two guys.
Oh, like over their shoulder.
Over their shoulder, and it just blasts.
So, that's funny. Mine's kind of a combination between Lily's and the squirting. I didn't know that there was two cannons.
Yeah, there's two cannons. Yeah,
but, so that kind of ruins... I thought it was maybe just one cannon. So, I imagine, like, you know, we have one person on all fours, right? And then a female-bodied individual on the back of the person on all fours with their legs spread, and they're just squirting out over the top of the head of the guy.
Oh my god. Okay, I think we need to shut this down. Oh my god.
Wait, does Blastoise stand up or is he on all fours?
He stands up.
Well, yeah. I don't know my Pokemons. I'm still thinking of the one with the freaking flower butt on the back.
That's Bulbasaur.
That's Venusaur.
Bulbasaur. Oh boy.
How the fuck do I know this? Why do I know this?
Pokemon. And I try to play Pokemon Go and then I just get goddamn frustrated. All right.
Oh, goodness.
Blastoising. All right. Urban Dictionary. By the way, like, with all these words that I have to look up every week on my laptop, when this laptop is, like, served its purpose for me, I'm going to have to put it in a biohazard, like... Because nobody should be able to touch this and look at
this. Let's just hope we never go to another country where they have to look at your laptop.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
no, please.
It's really bad.
We would be fucked.
I hate airports, so you have to put your laptop in the box. Ugh.
All right. I'm going to blast.
Blastoising.
Yes. God. ING. Okay, here we go. Oh my God, honey.
What?
I think you nailed it. So, blastoising. When you jack off two guys over your shoulder, aiming their jizz at your partner, yelling, "You do not have enough badges to trade me."
That's so
But
good.
Lily, I think you nailed it. 100%. Like, that's...
Nailed it!
That's so good! Wow. I love it!
Oh my gosh.
Nice.
Alright, well, so using it in a sentence in case people don't understand. You know, the party was lame until the guys started blastoising.
Oh my. Now that sounds like a fun frat party right there.
Oh my God.
Yeah, frat party, totally not gay. What are you talking about?
So then the second definition is kind of interesting. When you're fucking someone and come on their face, you pull out a 5-gallon bucket of water and dump it on them. I love the very cartoonish idea that you just, like, out of nowhere, a 5-gallon bucket of water
appears. Let me just say, if I'm coming and you drop water on me like that, I will fucking kill you. Like, there's no chance that you're making out of the bedroom alive.
Mm-hmm. Instant, like, reverse nut, please. Oh, I'm going to unnut.
Well, Bex, thank you for coming on to our very depraved
show. I also have to say something real quick. Like, Bex, I looked up your thing to make sure I was following you on Twitter really quickly, and you had a little link to mertube.net on there. I did not know about mertube.
Wait, what's mertube?
Mertube is amazing. People are posting all of their mer suit, like, videos. Like, it's basically, you know,
Pornhub for mer suits.
Exactly. Oh, shit, and it's pretty cool. So,
Everyone should sign up for it and use it. It's good.
And you can sign up through Telegram, which I just did. So, yeah. Pretty awesome.
But yes, thank you guys for having me so much.
You've been listening to the Trisexuals podcast. Remember to rate us on iTunes. Tell your friends about the podcast. Join us on Twitter, Instagram, Telegram, Reddit. And also check out the Trisexuals Menagerie on Telegram if you're looking for some awesome sex toy deals. Links and other information for the show will be in the show notes. I'm Max Chameleon, the Pikachu Pegger.
I'm Lily Chameleon, the Lickitung. I'm going to lick you from your head to your toes.
And I'm Kit, the Kinky Clink.
Yay! Yay! Sexy Pokemon!
Thanks, guys! Woo! 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 All right, love
sexy
you guys!
Pokemon, man. All right, bye, everyone!